There was a time when the response by Americans to what's been unfolding in Ukraine was an obvious one. Defend freedom as the world leader. Today, yeah, quite a different picture, is it not? While most see the war in Ukraine as a threat to democracy that it is, others react to it with a denial of what's looming over all of this. They often fuel their stands with misrepresentations, even outright lies. So the question stands, why should we in America care about what happens in Ukraine? Joining us now to explore the answer is the former ambassador to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, former governor of Virginia, now president of Gilmore Global Group, LLC, ambassador and governor, Jim Gilmore. Mr. Gilmore, thanks for being here today.
Good. Thanks for the chance to talk to your listeners.
And if you want to follow Governor Gilmore on, well, now it's X or what's left of Twitter, it's Governor_Gilmore. And you can follow his thoughts and views on serious issues such as the one we were talking about with Ukraine. And as far as, let's go back to this past week's GOP debate, for lack of a better word to call it. Others have called it something else, but we don't use that language around here. But with Ukraine and national defense overall, is the topic being properly issued among the GOP candidates?
Well, the GOP candidates all have different positions, and that on Ukraine and on national security, and that came through. Remember, there are about 30 different topics that they did in the debate, and they did it badly. I just hate that format. But there was one question regarding national security in Ukraine, and the candidates are different. The correct position, in my view, is talked about by Nikki Haley and Mike Pence and even Chris Christie, your former governor in New Jersey. The people who are counterproductive and wrong, I think, appear to be certainly Ramaswamy, who's completely unrealistic, and Ron DeSantis, who doesn't seem to get the big picture here with respect to foreign policy. So that's my reaction to the debate and the positions that they took.
When you look at the world picture, and certainly you've seen that in a variety of positions in your military service as the ambassador and just as a wise political observer, how important is it for the U.S. to lead? Because our allies are going to follow our lead.
They are. They will follow our lead happily. And if we surrender that leadership, they will have to make compromises. The goal, in my opinion, of the Russians is not merely to commit genocide in Ukraine, not merely to conquer and subjugate Ukraine, but also to render all of Europe somewhat more neutralized, to begin to destroy NATO, and to begin to roll back the progress that's been made in Western Europe and Eastern Europe since the fall of the Soviet Union, and to roll that back. The point is this: I believe, and I am certain, that Western and Eastern Europe, as an ally in the Western alliance, is essential to the survival and safety of the United States. The people who are talking about stopping the support for Ukraine, that at that point may drive the Ukrainians. It would be intended to drive the Ukrainians into a negative negotiation, a settlement where they give up territory. And that principle then would be established, that conquest by violence and atrocity and war crimes is the order of the day. And at that point, not only is Europe compromised, which is an existential threat to the United States, but also at that point, the Chinese will be encouraged. And they'll say, well, if the U.S. doesn't have the fortitude to the resolution to stay the course, then let's go on Taiwan. And then that begins to disrupt the entire situation in the Pacific. If the United States is faced with a dual crisis in Europe and the Pacific at the same time, we are not safe. And that is my message to people, that the defeatists, either in and out of the Republican Party, if they prevail in the Ukraine issue, it will be a catastrophe for the United States and a long-term danger. We will be driven into a warlike situation in the future in which we will have to respond, and I want to avoid us getting into a bigger war. That can still be done by support for Ukraine now.
You mentioned the sovereignty of Europe in its entirety, as well as, you know, especially the Western side, which is where the democracy has been historically longer resting. The stance of NATO and the increasing strength of NATO that we've seen, the expansion of NATO now that we're seeing as well, that wasn't part of Vladimir Putin's plan, I believe.
No, he counted on the fact that the Americans, in the end of the day, in the West, would not have staying power and would not rally to the Ukrainians. We would take the position, like Neville Chamberlain did with Hitler, that it isn't important to us, let's just not respond. He counted on that. And he also counts on the fact that by staying with this, if he can prolong this war for a long time, that the Americans will lose their resolution, their resolve. And I think he's counting on all that. Once again, the Chinese are watching that. Look, I'm on the whole optimistic about this. If we stay the course on this, the Russians, in fact, may end up saying that this is not something they can achieve. And the Chinese, I believe they're smarter than the Russians. I think that they have a better view of the world scene. I think they won't gamble on Taiwan if we prevail, if the West prevails in Ukraine. But right now, because of the defeatists in the Republican Party, that issue is now emerging and not to our benefit, in my view.
Talking with Ambassador Jim Gilmore, former ambassador for the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, also former governor of Virginia. He's currently president of Gilmore Global Group, LLC, on X. You can follow him at gov_Gilmore, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned how the Republicans have been addressing this issue and Vladimir Putin as well. Are the Democrats scoring a perfect score with their outlook and treatment of this, or have there been some faults on that side too?
There have been indeed. So far, President Biden has been supportive of Ukraine, and he's made some statements like we'll stick with it as long as it takes and all of that kind of thing. And he has sent some munitions there. The United States is the largest supplier of the Western Alliance of munitions. We are not the largest supplier of money. The Europeans actually are the largest supplier for humanitarian, financial, and refugees and arms. But the U.S. has been the essential supplier for arms. We haven't done enough. The issue in Ukraine is in doubt, and that's because we have been too little and too late. And there's a second element of this. I want to remind you of what I said a few minutes ago. The war right now, the real battle right now, is for the hearts and minds of the American people. They're working on, through disinformation, the American people. They're trying to destroy American resolve. The defeatists in the Republican Party, which is my party, are aiding the Russians in that campaign by either deliberately or inadvertently. But to come to the point, the war for the minds of the American people is mostly about what the President of the United States says. I can talk all day on the radio, and I don't have the bully pulpit that President Biden does. And he just won't engage on this. He just simply will not get into this mix and explain to the American people the importance of this and the extreme danger to the United States and the Western alliance if we falter at this point. The president has to lead that debate, and he's not doing it.
I know poll by poll you can come to various conclusions or questions about the polls and the mechanics themselves, but generally speaking, are those naysayers starting to have an impact? I'll just reference one here from CNN. 41% now say the U.S. is doing too much to support Ukraine. That's up from 33 in February. 14% was the number back in April of 2022. Half, 50%, think the U.S. is doing the right amount or too little. That's down from 73% in the war's earlier months. So is there some success now being seen in that campaign of disinformation?
Yes, because the press, the mainstream press, all the press, the idea of the defeatists in the Republican Party is novel. It's interesting. It's unusual. And the arguments are very superficial, but they're made. The arguments are made. Well, we don't have enough money. Well, it's the southern border. The Russians are winning, so we ought to give up. It's just too much money. It's too much money. That's what they keep saying. All of that is false. All of it is false. The idea that we can't do what we have to do domestically and without surrendering our national security is just nonsense, and it's dangerous nonsense. But, yes, it is making a difference. And once again, I come back to this again, the defeatists in the party are novel. They're interesting, and therefore they get to make their arguments. The counterargument is not being sufficiently made, not in the House, not in the Senate, and not in the White House. And, I call on these national leaders to get out there and make the legitimate case to the people of the United States that they are in danger if this thing goes the wrong way.
I mean, we certainly have all seen the videos where there's the human impact on this war that the war has been having on the citizens of Ukraine, especially the children. We hear from organizations, but as you said, they aren't given the access versus the misinformation proponents who make for better television, I guess, is the only way I can say it. And that's the sad thing on my side of the media. I mean, we've cleansed a bit with loss of Tucker Carlson. You know, I remember he used to have a former lieutenant colonel who would just blatantly claim, well, Russia's control of 2/3 of Ukraine, so why are we still doing anything, and have no proof for it. But people, for some reason, buy into all that. If it's what they want to hear, they're going to believe it. It's just the bare bones of that situation.
Tucker Carlson and his military, so-called military experts, are wrong and dangerously wrong. And I don't understand why they don't understand what they're doing to the United States with these kinds of pieces of misinformation. But look, the fact is that the Ukrainians are actually making progress. The reports are that they've started to break through. When I was an ambassador in Europe, you know, Crimea was kind of off the table. Nobody wanted to encourage the Ukrainians to go back after their own territory in Crimea. But once Putin invaded, then it was all bets are off. And at that point, the Ukrainians are saying, well, we ought to go get back all of our territory. And that includes Crimea, and they're making progress. But, you know, at the same time, Americans, this is a McDonald's society we live in. We have to have the Big Mac today. Yeah. And that means that the Americans are frustrated because this thing is not moving as fast as they wish that it would. But the fact is, you can't fight a major power in a major conventional war overnight. It takes time. It takes time and will and resolution. And as long as we do that, we're going to be fine. The American position is very powerful, very strong in the Western alliance. The only way that we can really lose this thing, the Ukrainians can lose it, and we can lose it, is to defeat ourselves. And that's really what Putin wants us to do, and that's what his voices in America are helping him do, and they're defeatist, and it's dangerous. Yeah. Look, I want to be clear about this. If this thing goes the wrong way, we're not going to have a problem next week or next month. But in the long run, as Putin begins to redevelop his Russian empire and intimidate the Europeans and empower the Chinese, sooner or later we're going to be in a big war. And I'm going to just say something new on your radio show today, which is that if this thing goes the wrong way, the United States is going to have to rearm. We're going to have to start building up our Army and Navy and Air Force and get ready for what's coming. But it's not necessary yet. It's not necessary yet. If the Americans are resolute and if we start doing continue to do the right thing, Ukrainians are going to be fine on this thing. They seem to be beating the Russians, and the Russians are starting to crack. We've seen that over and over. And in the end, this long-term problem can be averted.
Yeah, certainly with the leader like Volodymyr Zelensky, they certainly have the winning hand, and that's almost Churchillian position that he has taken and the role that he is playing. And if you want to, for you listening, if you want to think of the potentials and the hypotheticals, Russia moves forward west. They get closer to allies like Iran. The two of them join forces. Who would be in their crosshairs first and foremost? My bet would be Israel, just as a starting point, too. And if you want to learn more about what we see going on with facts and reality, you can follow Ambassador Jim Gilmore on X at @gov_Gilmore. Ambassador Jim Gilmore, you are a presenter of the truth, which is always valuable and much needed. We thank you for that and being here today.
Good. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to your listeners.